Morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I pray that you will come and speak to us, minister to us today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the mornings, we've been talking about prayer and intercession. You know, we started off on Tuesday with that passage from Ezekiel, right? That said, God's looking for a man to stand in the gap, you know, and we talked about the importance of people stepping up in obedience to pray and intercede. And today I thought it will be good to talk about kind of this partnership that we have as a human being with what God wants to do in this earth, right? This partnership. And this was just something that I was reading in my own quiet times, and I thought it kind of linked to what we're talking about, so that's what I'll preach about today. So throughout the Bible, it seems that God's very often, many, many times, He's looking for human involvement, and He's looking for some kind of partnership with a human being, with a man or a woman, to do His will, right? So obviously, there are many times in the Bible where God just does everything by Himself. You know, He'll initiate something, and then He'll execute that thing all by Himself. And He's just doing it out of His sovereign will and power and His goodness or whatever, you know. And, I mean, you look at creation itself. The whole creation came about, and it was just God doing it, right? He initiated it, He executed it, it came about by His own design and His own will. But since creation, like if you look through the Bible, a lot of the times God will want something to be done. Like this is His will, this is His plan, this is what God wants to do. But He's looking for a man or a woman to rise up, you know, to the occasion and to just obey God in that matter. And then God brings about His desires, you know, in this world. So, I mean, the whole book of Judges is about people, men and women that God uses to lead the people of Israel. So people of Israel, they are in sin and they're crying out to God because of their sin, enemies have come and they're oppressed. So Israel will cry out. And what God wants to do is to deliver the people of Israel. But He doesn't just do it with the snap of His fingers. Because He could, right? God's God. He could just do something, completely destroy the enemy nations or whatever to set the Israelites free. But instead of doing that, He always picks somebody to rise up. You know, He picks a judge. That's why it's called the Book of Judges, because you go through a different, you know, number of judges. And, He always picks people. He picks Gideon, Samson, and all these other people to say, "Hey, rise up and lead your people into freedom, out of oppression," you know, instead of God just doing it sovereignly, although He can. And also the book of Esther, you know, you read about this queen, Esther, who's an Israelite, and you can see how God orchestrates this whole thing to save the people of Israel from the impending doom that's going to come through this evil guy Haman. And God kind of orchestrates this whole plan to make this Esther, a Hebrew woman, a queen in Persia, so that she can be the deliverer of her people. Instead of God doing it sovereignly, You know, sometimes we wish God would do things by the snap of his fingers, but God uses a man or a woman in this case to deliver. Right. So for my case, like when I was in DTS, you know, Discipleship Training School with YOM. After my DTS, I did mine in Lausanne, Switzerland. So we thought, oh, what a great opportunity. Me and my buddy Brady, we thought, oh, great opportunity. Let's go travel around Europe, you know? I mean, we're already in Europe. We've always wanted to travel. So I didn't have any money, and I got my dad paid for these U-Rail pass for me, which allows me to take 10 train rides or whatever in Europe. So it's like a good idea, you know, but I still didn't have any money. And I was praying, and different people were praying for me, and they were like, yeah, you know, God will provide a way for you. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. So all good. But what ended up happening is God didn't send down money from heaven, you know? Like, God didn't send a miraculous envelope with a lot of money in it for me to be like, oh, great, you know, I can go to Europe and travel, blah, blah, blah. God used Brady, the guy that I was traveling with, to pay for everything that I did. And it's not like he had a lot of money, but he was willing, and he said, yeah, you know what, forget about it, you know, I'll just pay for you, we'll stay at budget places. We didn't have luxury, but we had enough to get by. But, you know, it's really hard for someone to travel with and to be paid for all the time. It's very humbling. And a lot of times, I think Christians, when we talk about God's provision, we would prefer it if God just rained down money. Then it's like, oh, thank the Lord. He is so sovereign and so awesome and so faithful. But usually what God will do is he'll use somebody else to pay for you. You know, he'll give you, use somebody else to give you the money. That's how God works. I mean, so often you hear about people that have a random stranger give them a check and it's what they need or whatever. So that happens too, right? God works sovereignly. I mean, he worked through a person, but not someone that you knew. But oftentimes I think it's somebody that you know will give you the money, and it's very humbling for you to receive, but you just got to receive, you know, and kind of get that pride out of the way. But, you know, that's an example of how God will use a person to meet your need and to do his will, you know, on this earth. So in today's passage that we read, basically God has rejected King Saul. Right? King Saul was the first king. God's rejected him because Saul is disobedient. His heart is far away from God. So God says, hey, I have picked another king. See, God has already picked the next king, but obviously it's King David. But David, the whole event of King David becoming a king, you know, it doesn't really materialize into reality until Samuel is sent to go and anoint David. You know, God has already rejected Saul, and he's already selected a king for himself, which is David. So, I mean, God could sovereignly just do something. Saul dies in a battle, and David rises as a king, whatnot. But God says to Samuel, hey, Samuel, I want you to go and anoint this guy. And that's when you see King David anointed or filled with the Spirit of the Lord, it says in verse 13. Right after Samuel finds him, anoints him with oil, that's when the Spirit of God comes upon David, you know, and that's when this whole thing materializes, God's plan of David becoming a king. And you know, some people say things like, oh, if it's God's will, he'll do it, you know. Like, even when it comes to praying for healing or praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for some reason we have this negative reaction to like having to pray for someone. You know, sometimes we're just like, oh yeah, you know, he's a Christian. If God wants to fill him up with the Holy Spirit, God will do it. You know, he's a Christian. If God wants to touch him and heal him, he'll do it. But I would think, I mean, just looking at the Bible, that he's waiting for somebody to go and pray for that person. So you look through Acts, right? The book of Acts, it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there are times when God sovereignly sends his Holy Spirit down upon a group of people and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it happens two times, right? One at the Pentecost and one when Peter is preaching to Cornelius, his friends. But other than that, when the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody and they're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, it's always through the hands of the apostles. You know, they go and they pray for somebody. laying on of hands, and then the Spirit of God comes. You know, I think it's because God is looking for human involvement. Like even in our setting, like if somebody is sick or somebody is hurting or something, we can say, oh yeah, if it's God's will, God will do it. You know, God loves this person. He'll heal that person. He'll be with that person. But maybe what God is asking you to do is actually to go up to that person and lay your hand and say, hey, can I pray for you? And through that, because you're doing it, you're doing what God wants to do in that person's life, and you're laying your hands upon that person, praying, God's Spirit will come, you know, and He'll heal and He'll bring His comfort. So the question often is asked, you know, what if, so in this case, what if Samuel didn't obey? You know, what if Samuel didn't do it? You know, what if he didn't, he just said, you know, Samuel's a little bit afraid, right? He's like, oh, King Saul's going to kill me if I do this. So what if Samuel chooses not to obey? Then what's going to happen? You know, then David, would he have become king? All that stuff. But that's really, it's a hypothetical question. You know, Samuel did obey. So a more practical question for us to think about is, are we going to obey? When God gives us a prompting, when God tells us and asks us, hey, this is what I want to do, but I want you involved in it to pray for somebody or whatever, you know, are we going to obey, step out in faith? And Samuel, one thing about Samuel, I've been reading through 1 Samuel. Samuel's an amazing character, and he was so obedient, you know. Whenever hardships came and difficult to obey, Samuel didn't back away, even though, you know, his heart maybe didn't enjoy obeying. He, you know, he always chose to obey God and walk with God. So this morning, you know, my question to us, for us to meditate is, are we going to obey when God, I guess, opens an opportunity for us to step into partnership with Him? And it could look at many different, it could look in many different ways. We're specifically looking at prayer, right? In Ezekiel 22:30, that was the passage that we started with. And it says, God, you know, God says, I'm waiting for a man. I'm looking for a man who will build up the wall and stand in the gap for my people. But no one, there was not a single person that did this. So prayer is a way that we can partner with God. You know, whether it will be praying for a friend of yours at church, a brother or sister, you know, laying your hand upon that person and praying. It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. You know, it's easier not to approach that person. You know, it's easier to pray from afar, which is good, praying from afar, maybe what God wants you to do. But sometimes, you know, God might be saying, hey, you know that person that you see at work that you feel like is in need of something, I want you to go up to him and talk to him and pray for someone. I just did that this Monday. God, I just felt like this guy had a knee problem. We play basketball with him, and I just felt like God was saying, go pray for him. So on Monday, I was feeling pretty good. I don't know why. So I was like, okay, I'll just do it. So I went up to him, I prayed for him, and I mean, for me, it felt powerful. I felt this presence of God come, and I was kind of a little bit, in a way, prophesying over him. He's not a Christian, but I was just praying about how God has a plan for him, and it just felt like God was there, you know, and like I was able to obey and I was able to speak life into this guy. So there's something there, you know, when you obey and when you actually talk to somebody and pray for that person, you know, in front of that person. But also it could be talking about nations, right? We've been talking about North Korea. There's different places like Haiti, and Haiti always comes to my mind, you know, and but there's lots of different places. Pakistan, you know, the flood victims, there's still stuff going on there. And off Burma, you know. I mean, everywhere in the world, we need to pray, right? We need to pray that God's presence would come, His peace would come. So, just looking at prayer, that's one way we can partner with God, you know. God wants to move in a way, in a mighty way, but He's looking for somebody. I mean, that Ezekiel passage, right? He says, I'm looking for someone that will stand in the gap. And if we can take that call upon ourselves, I think it'll be good. So if Hannah is going to come, she's going to come lead worship for us. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us today.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of all heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I pour out my life.
Let's pray together. Let's just pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church. That we would be like Samuel, you know, as a church, as individuals, that we would really be obedient, you know, to whatever God asks us to do, that we would obey and be courageous, be bold. So let's pray for ourselves, pray for the church. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the Thursday house churches meeting today. There's Pacific Place and Conduit and Kennedy Road. So let's pray for the three house churches that God's presence would come. It'll be a meaningful time. So let's pray for the house churches. Let's pray for the Empowerment Conference this weekend, the NK Conference. Let's just pray God's covering over this time, Friday night and Saturday, three sessions. Let's just pray that the right people would come, the people that God is calling to this thing would all obey and come to this conference. Let's pray for our speakers. There's two Dr. Kims and there's Jamie Kim, Chris Kim, and then Dr. Kim, who's president of the university, right? So let's pray for our speakers. Let's pray for Armanda and Feed the Hungry as they organize this, and pray for this venue, and let's just cover this time. And while we do that, let's also cover North Korea, the country, and South Korea and the tension there, and just for God's presence and His righteousness to come upon these two nations. Let's pray together for the conference and the country. Let's pray also for our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, New Life Church, and Pastor Tang, and the different leaders that we know. If you've been to Cambodia, you've met some of the leaders. Also, Bhopal and the orphanage that we are supporting. Let's pray for that. Let's pray Center of Peace, it's called. That's the orphanage. Let's pray for God's blessing and covering over those two places and also that country. If you guys know, they just had this accident basically on their holiday, stampede. A lot of people died. There was mourning. So let's just pray for that country. And also Japan, Kenny Yeh, one of our very own, is there ministering. Let's pray for him. Let's pray that God would continue to support him and strengthen him, and that God will move in that nation as well. So let's pray together for those two countries. Let's pray lastly for just our church, our building fund. Let's pray that God would lead us in this. And just pray for God's covering for our church. Let's come together as a church, as a body, to really pray for God's guidance and His provision and His leading for this. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. Thank you just for who you are, your grace, Lord, to us. And, you know, we thank you that we can pray, that you hear our prayers, God, that we can stand in the gap for all these nations, God, and different people in our lives. And I pray just for a real heart of obedience, Father, even if it's difficult, God, and if it costs us something, that we would still obey when you ask us to do something. I pray for clarity. I pray against confusion, God, or deception from the enemy, that we're able to hear from you clearly so that we can walk in obedience today. And we just ask you for your strength today, your peace, your favor, your presence with us today. And we love you. We want to continue to live this day to glorify you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys.